today is the day that we wrap up our time in Colossians. This has been such a rich and sweet book for us that we studied together, that we are going to walk through the last 11 verses with the points I think that can bring it home for us related to this study in particular. If you would turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 4, we're going to begin in verse 7. Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They will tell you of everything that has taken place here. We see in these verses the best life partnerships expand our ministry. We cannot do ministry alone. We are called to do it with God's people. Today we are celebrating 40 years of ministry that began long ago with Emmanuel Baptist Church, having a desire to reach this part of the county. And as a result, we've seen God do great and mighty things. Partnerships mattered to Paul, and partnerships should matter to us. In fact, were it not for these two men, communication, relationship, the church at Colossae would not have been possible, as they were so vested relationally with Paul and with the church at Colossae. Next, we see our best life partnerships encourage our ministry. Encourage our ministry. Look at verses 10 through 14 with me. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you and Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice. These are the only men of the circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have been a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. Five individuals, five partners of Paul listed in this passage. The first, Aristarchus. Paul's definition of him, my fellow prisoner, greets you. Aristarchus, a man for all seasons. Thick and thin, the good and the bad and everything in between was this man Aristarchus for Paul. We see it throughout the book of Acts. We see it again here. We see it in other books, New Testament letters, where he is mentioned. He was one of those guys that you want to have in your corner, that you want to spend time with, that you want praying for you, that you want ministering with you, partnering with you in the gospel. That was Aristarchus to Paul. And Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, is next. As you know, or may not be aware of, there was a time when Mark and Paul had strong disagreement. And Mark actually, for a period of time, left that type of ministry with him. Well, it's obvious in this that reconciliation took place between Paul and Mark. And so we see him in this way as restored relationship, restored to Christ, restored to Paul, and how he was effective in ministry. Then we see next in verse 11, Jesus, who is called Justice. This man, references again other locations in the New Testament, was one who was willing to stand for Christ. Were he the only one to do it? Were no one else to go with him? He was willing to stand and to support Paul. That was his reputation. So he as well was heavily dedicated, committed to the ministry God had called them to, and to this man Paul. It says in verse 11, at the end, they have been a comfort to me. And so these men provided that for Paul. Remember, he was in prison in Roman prison, struggling, having great difficulty, not talking about that much, because his heartbeat was not only for the gospel to be spread in prison, but also for these churches with whom he was ministering. So when these men saw him and spent time with him, they were the very healing ointment of God in his life. It's possible that there have been people in your life that have been the same, and that you have been to others. And in the future, that will be the case as well. Demas is also mentioned. He's I mentioned in other locations, the New Testament as well, also went through a period of time where he abandoned Paul, but obviously has come back at this point. Mark and Paul reconciled once again, doing ministry together. Finally, we see best life partnerships equip others' ministry. In other words, we not only give in partnerships, we receive. We're also told through partnership that Paul extended himself relationally, spiritually, for not only these men, but for the churches as he ministered and desired so much that they grow. Continuing going after relationship with God and with people in the deepest, most profound way as they shared the gospel together, working hard for him, for the gospel in different places. We then see in verse 15, give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. And when this letter has been read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and see that you also read this letter from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. A fitting conclusion to this wonderful book of which we have been strongly challenged in this semester of this year. Now the discovery comes for us. What does God have for us next? At the 50th in 10 years, what will we look like? Radically different. Why? Because we are going to continue to grow. We're going to continue to grow spiritually. God is going to continue to equip us as we draw closer to him. He's going to make us more effective to a lost world, but primarily going deeper in relationship with him. We are going to grow spiritually. We have been. We're also going to grow relationally. If we are being the church that God has called us to, our relationships will continue to be transformed into the likeness of Christ, and he will continue not only to work in us, but through us to be effective, as we saw in the memory video, 40th anniversary. People connecting, not waiting for a card to have to go make a visit or make a phone call. Seeing someone that's new to our church on a Sunday morning and say, hey, let's go have lunch. Hey, let's spend time together. I would like to invite you to this part of my life. Are you interested and would you be willing? That is the church. Paul's day, they didn't have cards that they filled out. I like the cards, so don't stop filling those out. But they didn't have cards in that day. Maybe they chiseled on stone. I don't know. But we have the opportunity to have a relationship with people where we are called to love and grow and invite in. Again, we saw history of that on the video taking place. We will grow relationally, and we will grow numerically. God will continue to bring people to us because he is, one, true to himself and what the Bible says about kingdom expansion, about people knowing him, and about the calling that God's given us. We are not called to be a holy huddle. We are called to expand out, to reach the lost, and for those who are disconnected, who come into our area, to invite them to become a part. We will grow numerically. It's been happening. It's going to continue to do so. And that is a joyous thing to be a part of. 1 Thessalonians 2:8. So be effectually desirous of you. We are ready to share not only the gospel of God, but of ourselves, because you had become so dear to us. You're dear to the Father. You're dear to our family. And you're dear to one another. Let's continue in the mission he has called us to together. Let's pray.